And we hope that the corporate executives from Hormel come. We hope the corporate executives from the bank come. And we want everybody to see the type of program that we plan on running. And then let them begin to lose the night's sleep like they have caused the people of this community to lose sleep.
Staff, we have experts in all facets of research and analysis, communications experts, and people who are experts in all facets of political and community organization. And we looked out there in society and we saw poor and working people getting the daylights kicked out of them, and we felt that there had to be a mechanism that they could turn to, and unions could turn to, and community groups could turn to, that had a lot of expertise in how to really challenged powerful adversaries that were irresponsible in their policies directed at workers. So we developed corporate campaign programs. And our campaign is one of taking the offense, showing that workers can move ahead and fight back, that they don't have to keep taking one loss after another.
Well, certainly so. It is a pleasure to be here in San Francisco, and it is beyond that a pleasure and a joy to be spending this evening and working with each of you and all of you tonight, and most of you indeed are staying on with us through the weekend, and so we welcome you for that as well.
Come back and work with them over a period of a year. Is that correct?
Corner in all of the city. In the spring,
when she wrote this, the winter before we left, my mom was getting her master's degree in education. She thought that our move raised some interesting questions about early childhood development.
Like the atom bomb. Also, he explained that they were evil arms, but they exerted a very powerful fascination for him.
One of the programs, yes, where we meet with them once a month.
Ray told me you're never going to outspend a company.
Welcome aboard, innocent bystanders. Well, I'm not innocent. New metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. It's life or death tonight. I've had it. Either I commit suicide while still conscious, or I guess I'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way. I don't plan on that, however, so don't call the police so they can smash their way into the studios with one of those battering things that the police love to carry around. I'd like to have one of those myself, though. Well, they're either the one or the two-man versions. Except it would be very hard to use it against myself, which would be the most delicious way. Anyway, do that later. Until then, I'm going to slice off one digit every hour until the show's over. That's at 2 o'clock here on WZBC in Newton, your friendly neighborhood outlet of broadcasted multimedia from one of the multi-global, actually, just a mom-and-pop kind of operation. It's an unbill, below the bill line of communication outfits, still ticking, taking a kicking here on America. 552-4686. Source material, don't be shy. Chris, you don't have to call either. You're out of Newton, 90.3. A new physics for the swinging planet out there. It's what's going on, in case you didn't catch the credits at the beginning. You know, the show going on now that you're either riding on, all twisted up and confused about, or fighting with your frickin' life to avoid. You know what I'm talking about. Unless you're under a certain age and then you don't really feel anything except those young feelings. And you don't know what I'm talking about right now anyways. I don't want to sound parental or anything. God forbid, in this American country of fake youth that we commodify so much. But I get ahead of myself. I want to do that.
character that you observe in the little men of the old parties, blown hither and thither by every gust of transient opinion, elated by a little success, downcast by a little failure, gossiping and chattering about the prospects of the next 5 minutes, jostling for place, but not so forward in service, without loyalty, endurance.
Play goal by Jeff Sanderson.
Character is the hallmark of financial democratic politics. It is the opposite of the National Socialist. In the true revolutionary, the first quality is the power to endure.
La oficina de inmigración recibe a tres pintorescos extranjeros. Y Enrique Ingratas presenta otro insólito caso en Se me ocurrió así. Luca Ventimiglia presenta al elenco más estrafalario de la televisión hispana en Sálvese quien pueda. Este domingo a las 7, 6 centro, aquí en Telemundo. Este domingo,
Mac, I'm not a prisoner.
Regresa para convertirse en la diosa del puerto.
And Childs, shoot him up with morphine. Tie him down in the rec room and watch him.
La diosa del puerto.
Start working on a new tale.
I need Doc's help.
The doctor would only help me. I could make that change I've got to make. Otherwise, I have to die. I'm not kidding either.
Hey, you don't want to drug me.
Mac, I'm not a prisoner!
All right, you better call the police. Getting serious, the blood's getting thick, and we don't have any ventilation in here.
Saying you to do a job for which there was a market, you would have had to pay $3,500. You didn't come out badly at all. That's the going rate for non-market jobs is $1,800.
I'm gonna hide this tape when I'm finished. If none of us make it, at least there'll be some kind of record. Storm's been hitting us hard now for 48 hours. We still have nothing to go on. One other thing. I think it rips through your clothes when it takes you over. Windows found some shredded long johns, but the name tag was missing. They could be anybody's. Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired. Nothing else I can do. Just wait. RJ McCready, helicopter pilot, U.S. Outpost number 31.
Why do you think we call this? No.
So I went into the record store and I saw this album sitting there. I saw the sharp looking dude on the cover and I say, is that him? The Black Prince? Could I be right? Could that be Kid Dynamite?
But thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right.
If we had jobs, we wouldn't be here. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right.
I waited a while, you know, while the phone was ringing, you know. I wasn't sure whether to hang on or not. But I'm glad I hung on. What I wanted to talk about was the guy who was talking about how he got ripped off by the society, right? And then, before you were talking about New Year's, the dread of Saturday nights, the dread of New Year's, and they're really connected, you know, because,
the ripoff of society and the dread of Saturday nights?
I'm getting into the political stuff. I was saying that, that's not going to solve a problem of what's wrong with the system and stuff, because that's like washing your face to get rid of acne when it could be an internal problem, and the acne is only a symptom. I think the basic problem is human nature.
Do you suggest that we deal with human nature with anti-acne creams? To
no, with acne creams.
Or by squeezing?
No, I gave acne creams.
Very simple formula, Newton's law, which is just also a few symbols, can, by hard work, explain the motion of planets around the sun and many, many other things. The 15th decimal, it's marvelous. A very simple formula explains all these very complicated things.
Not to completely and perfectly understand the nature impact, but to begin.
I guess you'll all feel a little easier. Somebody else was in charge.
That world that is limited only by your imagination and your willingness to use it. The principles, the concepts, the theories, the philosophy that you've spent however many weeks, months, years, decades learning.
Loyalty to cause and comrade, manhood and stability of nature. These are the qualities of the true Briton and the true revolutionary.
Can become more than just concepts and theory, but indeed can become fact. It can become the fact of the way your reality works for you.
And a suspended steel scrotum.
Not just something you long for, not just something you're working toward, not just something that, well, maybe someday, but something that is working and how your reality works for you.
In our movement, that great character of the British has been reborn. And for that reason, we carry within us the destiny of Britain. We care not whether we win tomorrow morning or at the end of a lifetime of labor and of struggle. For to us, the little calculations of the little men mean nothing. All we care is that win we will, because Britain demands it, and no power on earth can hold down the will within us.
Norris, I can't see anybody objecting to you.
I'm sorry, fellas, but I'm not up to it.
I'll take it.
I tell you, Will. You should be somebody a little more even-tempered, child.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? You gonna let him give the orders? I mean, he could be one of those things.
This is that you have gained can become understanding, and the understanding then to become the wisdom. Where you're not just becoming aware and learning and working with metaphysics and spirituality, but that you are the metaphysician and the spiritual person who is at one with, if you will, who is connected, who is a part of, who is living that metaphysics and spirituality.
But like Scorsese's just daring,
yeah.
You know, has always been a big influence to me. I usually never...
His daring.
Yeah. I usually never...
greatest jobs in the world, and you know, for any young people out there, if you work hard enough, you can always reach your dreams.
Just on certain evenings or certain afternoons or during certain meditative experiences, but in essence 24 hours a day.
Breathing,
internal problem.
character. You know, that's
the great Doc Weed.
Same way. You know, I've read a lot of Alan Watts, stuff like that, and I think that, you know, the solution to the problem lies in a restructuring of consciousness. If you have people who like myself, who are selfish, you know, then you're never going to have a society that really is equitable and just.
Well, what are you doing about your selfishness?
Well, what I'm doing is, I just completed 5 years of intensive psychotherapy. And when I paid out so much money, I guess I sure wasn't that selfish.
That's good.
With prematurely white hair and a dead gaze within the sky blue eyes that had helped save his life. As promised, he told his story to dozens of Jewish agencies and community leaders and to groups of family and friends, which is how I heard the account translated from his Yiddish by my mother. For months, he talked, speaking the unspeakable, describing a horror that American Jews had suspected but could not conceive, a monstrous tale that dwarfed the demonology of legend and gave me the nightmare I still dream to this day.
They told the FTC, but not the consumer, quicker than what? What kind of tire, what kind of tread depth, what kind of pavement, what kind of speed, etc. And so the substantiation program of the FTC is going under revaluation by the staff. They intend now no longer to demand a substantiation for the whole work, so to speak, or the industry by industry, auto industry, cosmetic industry. Can you imagine substantiating cosmetic claims? An industry that primarily sells hope is asked to be specific. The approach now is to pick out certain ads. Well, now they're going to pick out the specific ads that have specific claims, which of course will push this defensive strategy even further. That is to avoid specific claims.
Well, you certainly proved that. Look at that. We enjoy watching the microphone there. I want to ask Dr. Harris to pick it up as it flies toward him. He's going to set another milestone by becoming the first African American to walk in space.
For about 3 to 4 hours over a year's period of time.
Yes.
But the real key I have found is to train people inside their own organizations.
Their own champions, if you will.
Yes, so that they then start teaching others, who in turn teach others, practice it, report back on their experiences in both teaching and applying, so that they start to get a sense of responsibility toward the material and accountability.
And momentum.
It does. It does create a momentum. There's a natural momentum of enthusiasm because it actually impacts lives.
I believe that such an intellectual man would easily find himself in a quandary.
listen to Gary? You're gonna let him give the orders? I mean, he could be one of those things. You guys gonna listen to Gary? You're gonna let him give the orders?
Gary, you don't want to hurt anybody.
So you'll be floating on air, but be
yes,
sure you...
Yes, sir, and I'm really looking forward to that a couple of days from now. But I know I won't be... I may be the first, but I won't be the last.
No, you won't be the last. We'll have a lot more if we have you as an example.
The new one lunger caught the first time I thumbed the stator.
Steel scrotum.
Bert come down on the dock with the three tourist ladies in New Jersey and the deck chairs and lowered them all away.
Just keep on walking. Don't accept no for an answer. In fact, don't even ask any questions. But keep peace of mind, because it feels good. You might as well feel good. Or else, what's it all for? Just keep on walking. Keep your peace of mind. Keep your hands in your pocket. Away from the line.
If you are under 16, you must have a work permit.
So while on the one hand the substantiation of the ad campaign has stopped a good many specific claims that mislead people because they can't be backed up.
I began by telling the president that there was a cancer growing on the presidency.
Are there 100 Watergates going on a year that we just won't ever hear about?
Only about every 4 years when the vast power that is the presidency of the United States is being contested. Politics is very hardball, and people do mount intelligence operations against the other side because they want to know what...
You don't want to hurt anybody.
It doesn't solve the problem of affirmative information, of a functional use of the consumer.
If you will allow yourself to be liberated by what you do and what you experience and what you work with, you can then become the map maker, the co-creator, the reality maker, the vision maker.
Worked. For $1,800, you could have gone to computer school and not have a job.
What?
Hey, if you help, it'll be a little better, you know. What do you think this is, masturbation? Listen carefully. Stay awake. Listen for the limo, would ya?
And my two fabulous producers, Samuel L. Jackson and Kazakat Chev, I love you.
You need the club to protect your car or truck. Without the club, it's like playing Russian roulette.
These things, then you just attack me right now. Things, then you just attack me right now. So some of you are still human.
The odds aren't in your favor. The police need your help in fighting car thefts and urge you to buy and use the time-tested club.
Men should have their draft card.
There's an interesting parallel with the equation that almost everybody is familiar with, the only equation almost everybody is familiar with.
But what the existentialists fail to acknowledge is the existence of the unconscious as a force determining our behavior. Years ago, an acquaintance of mine went into intensive psychoanalysis. It eventually came out that all his life he'd been riddled with guilt about the death of his father, for which, unconsciously, he felt responsible. After recognizing this, he made great progress. A crippling disease from which he suffered turned out to be purely psychogenic, and so his deformed feet were miraculously healed, and his calf muscles, which had atrophied, returned to normal size.
Thank you.
Then, remarkably, his analyst confessed to the murder of his father.
There's always more to it. See? So use that as a model. That's how you love. You can do that with people. Start very slowly. This doesn't mean you take the whole thing and do it with people. It means you can love.
Existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives.
It was MC squared, Albert Einstein's equation that says matter and energy are equivalent to each other.
Virtuosity with words is absolutely incredible. He can do anything he wants, and here he makes you come out with a case of indigestion. The next chapter
need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something.
That you so long to be, and that you have chosen to be destined to be.
The one anti-theft device that's affordable.
Sure, in music, and namely that there's the classical tradition, then there are the experimental, very hardy experimental movements.
Because everyone does it for me anyway. Right. I always say, well, he's obviously ripping off.
Yeah, except, well, I don't say ripping off, but they do say influenced by De Palma and Scorsese.
Yeah, yeah. And Sergio Leone was a big influence
because
on
of the spaghetti westerns.
Oh, definitely because of the spaghetti westerns, and also because of, like, one, he actually you know, he was like the first director when I started like really thinking about becoming a filmmaker, where I was like, wow, I mean, well, that's a director. That's a film that's directed.
That's a director because...
Well, his films are so stylized. They are so directed. I mean, that it's...
You could watch that film.
I'd also like to say something to our Russian partner in space, Vladimir Titov, who's one of the world's most experienced space travelers.
This lifetime.
You were too short. You had bad skin. You couldn't talk to them very well.
You know, most people don't even know that.
And as he talked, Isaac seemed to grow older and older until one night, a few months later, when he finished telling everything he knew.
Not that anybody yet has a model for a quantum mechanical neuron.
We certainly won't have a complete explanation of consciousness until we have...
magnitude of what I'm talking about, you know...
all these things, then you just attack me right now. So some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to, but it's vulnerable out in the open.
Words didn't seem to work. They lied when they came out of your mouth. You tried so hard to understand them. You wanted to be part of what was happening. I'm having fun. And it seemed like such a mystery. Almost magic.
That was a line slipping on the capstan.
Tell me about it.
Why not?
It's karma they committed.
This is your judgment, yes? It is, after all, your judgment. You are not aware of what is going on, yes? You do not give credence to their responsibility in this matter. How do you feel about it? Are you ashamed? I tell you this, it is a contract, my friend.
Made you think that there was something wrong with you. You'd look in the mirror trying to find it. You thought that you were ugly and that everyone was looking at you. So you learned to be invisible, to look down, to avoid conversation. The hours, days, weekends. Ah, the weekend nights alone. Where were you? In the basement? In the attic? In your room?
As to his attitudes, on one hand the peace advocate, and on the other hand the arms merchant.
Well, not only does one hand know what the other's doing, they don't like what the other's doing, and not only that, you're gonna beat the living crap out of the other one. At least within the bounds of the viscera and some shallow pain level. You know, before CinemaScope of the 360 degrees of beating up somebody, whatever you want to call it. That's about the extent of it so far. I mean, the rest is just propaganda. Like, it's all been so great or something. You know what I mean? But it ends now. It's very hopeful. It's good. And like America, there will be a happy ending, and the rating group will like it. Kind of like gambling in a fixed casino. But we'll leave that to somebody else to describe. WZBC in Newton. They're making me do this. I would rather just play music, but they're coercing me into this experimental thing that most of you do not understand or give a whit about, which is fine. I think it's very excellent.
Dear Mrs. Perko, what can I say to fill the void? I know flowers and letters are appropriate, but it's hardly enough. I'm Johnny Boy, and I'm sick both physically and mentally. I smoke too much, constantly coughing, never eat, always sit around in a daze. All of us are in this general condition. We're all afraid to die, and all we do is count the days till we go home.
These things, then you just attack me right now.
Mm-hmm.
other side, however. You can use what you learn and experience as the fuel to keep yourself, as we say, in the perpetual darkness. To justify, to rationalize, to excuse, and to hold the limitations and the blockages, and to hold the negativity in some sort of nobility. See, even as I said, this is the darkest part of me, this is the dark law, even so, no wonder I can't change, no wonder I can't grow.
Be on time for your interview. Get there when you're supposed to.
Wonder things can't work out for me, and therefore I can excuse, rationalize, nobilize.
And justify my limitations. And therefore make the walls even thicker, and make the space, the atmosphere, even darker, and be even more lost in a prison of my own design.
And make the space, the atmosphere, even darker.
Jobs represent a relatively recent pattern of work organization.
You ever get an itch and you can't scratch it for crap? You don't want to mutilate yourself too bad. It's, Jesus. Oh, screw you.
Life. The body in which you find yourself is happy, its energy delighting
in
you.
And be even more lost in a prison of my own design.
This is a happy chair. And this is a happy hat.
So some of you are still human. I know I'm human.
Burn them all.
Working some job just to have something to do, just to have a place to put yourself.
Maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So, let's read verse 11 out loud, all right? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please.
It's all working against me. That's why I have to be against the very functioning of the machinery of night, which is a very strange thing to be against. Let me tell you, 'cause I ain't doing this by myself, but it doesn't really matter, because I'll never know you or anybody else to change that point, and neither will you, so just get over that real fast. That's a mountain and a molehill. It's not one or the other. Let's get that straight.
Just to have a way to get away from them, a chance to get away from the ones that made you feel so strange and ill at ease inside yourself. you ever get invited to one of their parties? You sat and wondered if you would go or not. For hours, you imagined the scenarios that might transpire. They would laugh at you. If you would know what to do. If you would have the right things on. If they would notice that you came from a different planet. Did you get all brave in your thoughts? Like you were going to be able to go in there and deal with it and have a great time? Did you think that you might be the life of the party?
Hi, can I help you?
Yes, we'd like some wedding invitations.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
When's the wedding?
June.
Late June.
Oh, well, we have quite a few to pick from. They're arranged in order of price. The most expensive are in the front.
Mm-hmm. What about this one?
To tell you the truth, they haven't manufactured that one for a number of years. I might have a couple of boxes left in our warehouse in New Jersey. I'd have to check.
These are the ones we want.
Why don't they make them anymore?
Well, for one thing, the glue isn't very adhesive. It takes a lot of moisture to make them stick.
So we pick up some Elmer's.
All right. You see what I do for you?
That all these people were going to talk to you, and you would find out that you were wrong, that you had a lot of friends, and you weren't so strange after all? Did you end up going? Did they mess with you? Did they single you out? Did you find out that you were invited because they thought you were so weird? Yeah, I think I know you. You spent a lot of time full of hate. A hate that was pure as sunshine. A hate that saw for miles. A hate that kept you up at night. A hate that filled your every waking moment. A hate that carried you for a long time. Yes, I think I know you. You couldn't figure out what they saw in the way they lived. Home was not home. Your room was home. A corner was home. The place they weren't, that was home.
Of my own device. And what's important to understand is that certainly so, the choice is yours. And so before we continue, before we start looking at locating this dark law in its secret prison and understanding its dynamics, we want to take a moment in that sense to have all of you reflect in that way, in what is all now called a blending.
In the library. Now, the first place where Bloom and Stephen crossed was in a publishing place where information or misinformation was put out, namely the newspaper office. Here we are in a library, books again, and they come together again. Now, this is a very interesting chapter. It is equated in Joyce's mind with Scylla and Charybdis, where Odysseus sails between Scylla, the rock, and Charybdis, the abyss, the vortex, the rock of logic and the vortex of mysticism. And there's an argument in here. Stephen is presenting a theory, which is a sort of joke theory that he's made up about Shakespeare and how Shakespeare's plays are simply representations of Shakespeare's own life. The main point of Shakespeare's life being that he was coupled by Anne Hathaway.
The vehicle of abstract thought.
I know you. You're sensitive, and you hide it because you fear getting stepped on one more time.
First, it is important to understand the location and the dynamics of this secret prison and of the law that resides in it.
It seems that when you show a part of yourself that is the least bit vulnerable, someone takes advantage of you.
I love that guy! I play the tunes every night! And by the way, fuck you!
Much to know what the law is initially, but to understand the location and the dynamics.
When we go to Saigon, we spend all our money on women and beer. We're all in desperate need of love.
Limitation was a chosen limitation. It is not something that was a curse. It was not done because there is a bad thing that was created here.
Very simple equation with very far-reaching consequences. You're equivalent to each other. That was a very simple equation with very far-reaching consequences.
I told Bert to throw his weight in, and somehow, together, we budgeted.
Race,
I am tentative about race, but I am not tentative about racism. Race, of course, for many years in the history of African Americans in this country.
Fascinated with the Meyer case around 1980 when the first pictures started coming out of Europe.
Now, it was last year, during last year, and what the day activities that we did starting here in.
It was half an hour before we got the thing aboard.
If you were all these things, then you'd just attack me right now.
First, it is important to understand the location and the dynamics of this secret prison and of the law that resides in it. Not so much to know what the law is initially, but to understand the location and the dynamics.
This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation.
Now, it was last year, during last year, and what the day activities that we did starting here in San Francisco in January of 1990 and through various locations throughout the country throughout the year, that we spoke in terms of manifesting your dreams and desires now about a thing called a manifestation machine. And though we're not going to discuss in detail what that's about, just to remind you, as we talked of the various components that go into the manufacturing of reality, into the manifestation of your reality, we suggested that there is a sense of machine. It may look simple, but in fact it's very intricate. And that machine is, as we draw it here, sort of a rectangular box with four separate components or four separate levels within it. The first of these, of course, we've talked of are the raw materials. The raw materials that you build your reality out of, the beliefs, the attitudes, the thoughts, feelings, the choices and decisions, you know them well. The next level, of course, you can't just have a reality of the mishmash of raw material sitting about. You've got to do something with them. As the person who creates anything with their hands or with their mind, you must take the stuff of reality and you must use tools. And certainly so, the second level made up of those tools, your desire, your expectation and your imagination, you know those well also. And indeed, everybody works with these, regardless of their metaphysical prowess, regardless of their conscious awareness of it. Everybody is carving, chiseling, shaping, molding, forming the raw materials into this that you call your illusion, a physical reality. And everything as tangible or as intangible as it might be, from the solidness of the floor to the elusiveness of your moods, we would suggest all are a product of the tools as they impact upon and are used with these raw materials. This is what produces the technician, and with nothing more than this, people become technicians, able to put together reality, obviously so, but in a technical sense. Not a whole lot of zip, not a whole lot of creativity, not a whole lot of sparkle or inspiration, but they get by. And you know people who live like this, you wonder maybe how could they possibly, but nonetheless they have this much in place and working and they manifest with that. We suggested, however, to go beyond the technician, to become the artisan, to become the artist at manifestation.
No one cares.
just for me.
Some nights I don't sleep. I can't stand being alone at night. The guns don't bother me. I can't hear them anymore. I want to hold my head between my hands.
Mustang free to run over miles of open territory, taming this horse was going to take a lot more than 30 minutes. Days, in fact. If he could do it at all, that is.
This bona fide, registered, freeze-branded, wild Mustang is going to come back to me and say, I want to be with you. You're okay. And I'll take this saddle. I'll take this bridle and I'll take this rider. That's all I've ever said I could do, and I'll do it.
In the graveyard, no one cares for me. Cares for me.
Being a very inquisitive type, and fortunately in those years I had a business which led me to Europe on many occasions, I decided to find out for myself, so I just went to Switzerland to see what was going on. The pictures were obviously fascinating, as most of you have probably seen. But I had the idea, if this was real, if human beings were really coming to visit Earth, and they were taking the time to somehow contact this little Swiss farmer and pass on a lot of information, I wanted to know more. We'd all seen the pictures, and we'd seen investigative reports, and we'd seen arguments about whether or not it was real.
However, to go beyond the technician, to become the artisan, to become the artist of manifestation, you add the next level, which are what we call then the generating energies in that sense of trust and of value and of gratitude and of love, or rather of happiness and joy, love and intimacy, of course, also part of that energy. And when you add that to the raw materials and to the tools, you create an artist's expression, an artistic life. You become artistic in the way in which you manifest. Not necessarily that you become literally a fine or performing artist, but your reality becomes the product that is expressed artistically.
From the 15th to the 17th centuries, there is a steady progress of fragmentation of the stages of work that constitute mechanization and specialism. These procedures cannot serve for survival or sanity in this new time. Unhappily,
I done me best when I was led.
Many well-intentioned political reform programs that aim at the alleviation of suffering caused by unemployment betray an ignorance of the true nature of media influence.
But more than that, to truly be a master of manifestation, you add one more ingredient, and that is the sustaining energies that you add. And that these energies, such as responsibility, the ownership, such as love, such as intimacy, certainly so, these kinds of energies are that which sustain in that sense. And the discipline is another sustaining energy that sustains what, with raw materials and tools and the generating energies that you have manifested. And these are the components we suggested of a manifestation machine. And that, in fact, if you would allow yourself to into this machine, put what you want, put the desires you have, the things you would like to create, the dreams, the hopes, the wishes, whatever you want to call them, and let them, in a sense, work through these layers of the raw materials, tools, generating and then sustaining energies, that out the bottom in that sensing will come the manifestation of what you want. And therefore, if it's a job, you put the desire for that job, or you put the need or the want of that job, the wish of it, and let it work through these components, and pop, at the bottom, in that sensing will come the manifestation of that job. A relationship, a health consideration, a financial concern, an emotional desire, wish, or hope, we would suggest whatever you drop in, this is what you work with to bring it to that state of manifestation. We also suggest, and certainly so, that sounds a little easier than in fact it is done. In fact, in practice, that doesn't quite work that way, as you well have found out. Often the things that you say you want and actually do want don't necessarily manifest with that sort of precision, that concisely and precisely. They don't come out that neatly, because there are things that stand in the way, levels of obstacle that keep this manifestation machine from working. The first of those we suggested then and still suggest is, of course, the belief. And that if I don't believe that this is going to work, if I don't understand how the raw materials and tools and the generating, sustaining energies fit together, that's a bunch of whatever and that same thing, that's not going to do it, that's not how real. Well, certainly so, that is part of the very raw materials. And right off, when you drop something in, it's going to be dissipated by the very fact that you don't have any belief, or the attitude subsequently, or the thought or feeling or choice or decision, any belief that it's actually going to come popping out the other end. And you will get exactly what you want. See?
Is Crispin Glover?
So? See, I told you it wouldn't work. I wanted that. It didn't happen, see? And you manifested exactly. In fact, it did work quite precisely, exactly the way you designed it in that scope. But your belief stands in the way. After the level of belief, when you get to the point of understanding what metaphysics is and that metaphysics really works and that there is a spirituality behind that metaphysics, a guiding energy behind it, certainly so, then this particular obstacle no longer is yours. But then you come into the next layer, which are those blockages, the blocks and the payoffs, as we've called them, the blocks, the things you put in your way quite on purpose, that you think are your karmic lessons, or that you've decided are your karmic lessons of this particular lifetime. Blockages are chosen. You choose them prior to entry, and you, out of those blockages, therefore make lots of decisions, like which parents you're going to have, what kinds of crises you're going to come across. Yes, you have free will at any point along the way. You can change that, but nonetheless, the blockages are initiated by you as the things you have chosen to learn. Not that you have to, not that some karma lord or some blockage king is out there in that particular regard writing them out and passing them out in that way at all, but you decide it. See, I want to work with guilt in this lifetime because I really messed up with it in these other lifetimes, or I've never really dealt with it. I want to kind of work with power in this lifetime, and so therefore I'm going to create certain blockages to being that. I want to deal with this ego thing that I've been carrying around with me, this nemesis, this monkey on my back. I want to deal with that more directly than I have before. Various things that you say. I want to deal with my emotions, and therefore I think I'll set up a life where I'm discouraged, and indeed where the intensity or depth of such is totally alien to me, and therefore a blockage around your emotions or around receiving love or around any number of activities. You decide on certain blockages and you set it up, and you, out of those blockages, of course, you have certain agendas, certain payoffs in that regard, and
hello,
this becomes the next level. So even if I believe I can manifest my own reality through such a straightforward a thing as this manifestation machine, as we call it, indeed my belief, then the blockages get in the way. Yeah, but I can't receive love. Yeah, but I can't feel intensely. Yeah, but I always feel I don't deserve and I can't have and nothing ever works for me, and I would rather feel sorry for myself. Even though I want this new job, I want to feel sorry for myself more. Even though I want this relationship, I'd rather feel rejected and hurt and deprived more. I can get more mileage out of that, and that sense, and get more sympathy from a broader range of people than that, so I have a payoff along those lines. Yeah, I miss a relationship, but I got 10 people who are all feeling sorry for me. That's more fun. My payoffs, my hidden agendas and blockages, despite my beliefs that it works, get in my way.
Together. And I said, you know what you're up to. You're going to run into town, look for a parking space. He's going to go in the bank. He's going to rob the bank. A policeman's going to come out. You're going to knock him on the head and get away. That's all.
That's right. Stand right there. Okay.
Whatever dialogue you want between us, whatever comes up, that's how you react.
Public relations wise.
My name is Ray Rogers. I'm with Corporate Campaign Inc.
That what you needed to do was look at creating a situation that became a newsworthy situation.
The company spent tens of millions of dollars in many years to build an image and reputation. That's being destroyed overnight.
The strategy was to go after the money behind the corporation.
We know there's a lot of labor money in First Bank system.
Ray Rogers and his corporate campaign mailed this letter to over 5,000 union members in the Midwest that says, in part, the First Bank system is a principal stockholder in the Hormel Company and thus can influence policy.
As a matter of fact, we upheld the race. We were race women and race men. Lily Holiday, for example, referred to herself as a race woman because she supported the community.
Oh, for God's sake, Newman, I'm...
Please, Jim, I got something to show you. I think you'll find it very interesting.
Newman, what is that thing?
General Williams, found this in your office. We think the conference room is also bugged, maybe the phones. We're going to have to debug the whole
bug
place.
Bugging the DA's office. This is outrageous.
Drive on it for you. It's urgent.
Well, you can believe what you want to, but we're going to have to be more careful. All these new volunteers, I mean, any one of them.
Okay. You handle it. I don't have time for this nonsense.
Well, We obviously got the bastards worried now. I'm coming to Washington.
Listen to white people, so you all need to go with them. Need to go to your white leaders with the program of change.
Automated electronic production reaches full potential, it will be just about as cheap to turn out a million differing objects as a million exact duplicates. And the only limit on production and consumption will be the human imagination. Unhappily, many well-intentioned political reform programs that aim at the alleviation of suffering caused by an climate betray and ignorance through media in...
on a happy head, because the moment is truth, and the truth of the moment is delight and happiness and being for the fun of it. So we've come here to this crazy, outrageous place called Earth to have fun.
And committed suicide during one of their sessions by jumping through the window. At the bidding of some friends of his, he contemplated becoming an existentialist. They believed he could exempt himself from deterministic psychological laws by stepping back from the rigid chain of stimulus and response and observing himself at a distance, objectively. They said that this capacity for self-detachment, an exclusively human phenomenon, would grant him true psychic freedom. But he wondered if it really made sense. After all, when he stood back to observe himself, he was still who he was. His act of self-detachment was only another event in his life. It was still him standing outside himself. And there was no reason to suggest that this act of self-detachment was any less caused than any other act. Well, then, one evening, he found himself in the compartment of a train, and he suddenly felt a pang of loneliness.
Loneliness. If you read The Global Village, he spells out a lot of... That guy was way ahead of his time. He still had a...
Global Village by McLuhan, it spells out a lot of it. You know, this movement to male and female energy working together. Nobody even knows anything about that. They don't have a clue.
It'll fight if it has to, but it's vulnerable out in the open.
Taken and will again. Victories we have had and will have again, yes, greater victories than even Britons have ever known. Through good and ill we march on, till victory be won, for this is the character of the true revolutionary.
We'd like to thank everybody at Trimark for making this film. It was very brave of them. And I'd like to thank Mark Amin, Ray Price, Bobby Rock, Jay Polstein, Cammie Winnicott,
just attack me right now. So some of you are still human.
And it shall prosper in the things whereunto I've sent it. Let's go over to Psalm 29, I believe is where I want to go. Psalm 29. God's word will not come back empty, but it will do what he said it would do. The reason is God goes with his word. There is nothing in all the world that's as powerful as the anointed Word of God. Now, the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the waters, and God said, the Spirit of the Lord moved over the face of the waters, and God said,
hello, this is Crispin Glover at WVCBC.
And there was a great trembling and upheaval, and the water separated, and the land came forth, and the light bathed it all, because God said.
Great moments of supreme struggle and decision, it is easy to hold that character, even in supreme sacrifice. It is not so easy in the hard daily task. It is then, even more than in the great fights we have together, that I would like to be the companion of every one of you. I would like to be with every action team that carries the message of our new faith to new streets. I would like to be with every man or woman doing the hard but vital job of giving leadership to the people in the block of houses for which they are responsible. For these are the jobs that count, by the dedication of thousands to that mission of leading the people in their own homes and streets. Revolution is won. In that task, I cannot in body be with every one of you every day, but in spirit I am with you always.
It will not return void. It will accomplish what he said.
Darkness fills my skin.
I got off duty and opened all my packages alone. I missed you all so much. I cried myself to sleep. It's ridiculous. I seem to be crying all the time lately. I hate this place.
You've worked with those, as we suggest, and you really have. Some still cling, but nonetheless, you've worked with them. They'd once, all right, I've handled my blockages, I've paved over the potholes, as it were. I've, in a sense, eliminated these agendas, brought them up on top of the table so everybody can see them, and now I'm not going to take them. So in that sense, well, let's go now, everything should be in place. Whoops, yes. I run into the next level, which are the contracts, the psychic contracts that I have in that way. Those contracts that I made usually around 6, 7, or 8 years of age, out of the shame, as we've talked previously, or perhaps at 10 or 12 years of age. The contracts that you made in order to alleviate, to assuage the pain that you were feeling at those particular times. Okay, okay, I will clone my mother. I'll be just like her, etc. Then will she get off my back? Okay, okay, I'll rebel. I'll be exactly the opposite of they want me to be. That rebellion can become my armor, that leathery sort of armor that keeps me from being hurt. Okay, okay, I will not be any more than you expect me to be. Okay, okay, I'll live your dream instead of my own. Just leave me alone. Get off my case. Contracts that you make with the parents often, most often, but with others, perhaps siblings or friends, even contracts you make with outside authorities, teachers or those who you look up to, grandparents or whatever. These contracts then become binding, certainly so, because you've initiated them, and therefore even with the beliefs cleared and the blockages and payoffs relieved, you find yourself entangled, you find yourself bound up. And similarly with those then, the scripts, the negative scripts obviously, the negative scripts that I'm going to play out, the suffering artist, the unrequited lover, the one who gets left out, the one who does everything and never gets appreciated, various scripts that you perhaps even read, the story of the gothic heroine in that same thing, the knight in shining armor, the fairy tales of the hero in that same thing or whatever, the Don Quixote myths in that way, that you're going to forever chase windmills and be humiliated and laughed at throughout, etc., and sing the songs of impossible dreams or whatever, but nonetheless scripts that you write, and they also with these contracts become that encumbrance.
Who fares dead? Found his body in his apartment a couple hours ago.
I don't see any violence, Jim. Heart attack, maybe an aneurysm. Looks like natural causes.
This is addressed to no one and no signature. To leave this life is for me a sweet prospect. I find nothing in it that is desirable, and on the other hand, everything that is loathsome goes on and on. Daily, we are propagandized more and more by a rising crime rate.
Pretty flowery for Dave Ferris. Prolord?
Yeah, I took it once for a little thyroid condition. Raises the metabolism, Lou. David Ferry strike you as the kind of person with a low metabolism?
Hardly, I'd say the opposite. Hypertension.
You know, Ferry was the only one to express any kind of remorse about the whole thing. I think it got him killed.
Lou, boss. More bad news from Miami. They found Ferry's Cuban friend Eladio Del Valle today. Hacked to death with a machete in his car. He was tortured, shot in the heart at point blank range, and his skull split open with an axe.
Ain't that the devil's purse?
Find another note. Same thing. No name, no signature. When you receive this, I will be quite dead, so no answer will be possible. I offered you love, and all I got
was... Must be hard-pressed to come up with that one.
Can I have a word with you?
Sure.
What would happen if a man suffering hypertension were to take an entire bottle of Prolor?
He'd die pretty quick.
Either a heart storm or a ruptured blood vessel in the brain.
Uh-huh. Can you ascertain if there's Prolor in his system?
Not in a routine autopsy. But if we looked at the spinal fluid, it might be a high level of iodine, but it's difficult to know. What you thinking, Jim?
I know, it doesn't make sense, Nick. I mean, the man's afraid of dying, then he kills himself in a way that leaves no trace. But he leaves two unsigned suicide notes.
If it's a suicide, I've seen weirder, Jim.
The fact is, he's gone, Chief, and so is our case.
Unless we go for Shaw now.
With whose testimony? Willie O'Keefe, a male prostitute? Jack Martin, a drunk? Vernon Bundy, a dope fiend? Shaw's got respect, Lou. Newspaper editors, American Bar Association.
I agree with Bill.
Shaw's going to get whacked. Now, how many corpses is it going to take before you lawyers figure out what's
going
on?
You watch your mouth, Lou. Barrett did this to himself. Where you going, boss?
I don't know, Bill.
To break new ground, you must clear the old ground. To reach the heights and depths of your destiny, of your self-chosen destination within and beyond space-time, you must seek higher ground. It is time to break. To break with old relationships, not with people, but with beliefs that once freed and now imprison, with beliefs that once expressed your truth and now reflect their lies. It is time to break old relationships, not with people, but with fear and its debilitating repetitions and monotonous replications, and to break your relationship with the vigors of struggle and control, with manipulation and self-pity. It is time to break your relationships, yes, perhaps with a few people, too. Clear the ground and hold your ideals and principles. Hold them powerfully, hold them with strength. In the moment, the pause becomes an opportune moment. Cultivate right action, retrieved missed opportunity, or find your fortune. In the pause, this opportune moment, listen to the poetry, hear the ballad of miracles. As you hold your ideals and principles, holding powerfully and strong, allow your dreams and visions to leap or to sweep quietly into place, or attend the fires, winds, our waters, attend the earth, attend to transcendence. Tend your harbors of safety, tend them with love and will, for this core of your power moves choice to change. Tend them with love and compassion, for these open you to sharing your safe havens with others and more fully with yourself. Love and will love and compassion, they spawn opportunity to fill opportune moments. Rejoice! Old ground cleared, new ground broken, higher ground reached. Oh, how your garden grows! Oh, how you, ever growing, ever changing, evolve. Rejoice!
That and had a 4-day schedule. We shot it in about 3 hours. And far better, I'm sure, than what broken down on the script with the interior of the bank and the people laying down in the bank and the guys holding their hands up and all that jazz. We left it entirely to the audience's imagination and suggestion. The shot was so real that people on the street yelled, "They held up the bank!" And we kept on going, photographing as we went. The shot took 2 miles. 2 miles! And without...
Ray knows how to put labor's best foot forward so that John Q. Public would sympathize with our cause.
There's some guy I'd never seen. He was dropping in to get a car, and they started talking to me about, how's that Hormel situation going? The guy turned around and says, are you the guy that's been brought in? And he says, man, I'm telling you, you can't imagine how many of my friends are watching this thing, and we're 100% behind you, and you're teaching this country something, and by God, you gotta win. I mean, this is just what I'm getting everywhere I travel. You are a symbol of something that goes far beyond Austin, and don't you forget it.
Local P9 engaged the services of a labor consultant from New York City, Mr. Ray Rogers, and corporate campaign. And Mr. Rogers has a different philosophy about how to deal with companies. Traditional collective bargaining is not the preferred method that he would use. His traditional approaches are harassment, intimidation, and threats. And his rationale for that mode of approaching an employer is that if you can embarrass a company hard enough and long enough, you'll bring that company to its knees, and they will agree to the terms and conditions of his client unions, the ones that he represents.
The other, but I had a few more questions that were left unanswered by the photo book that was out, so I proceeded to go to Switzerland myself. So that's how I kind of came about, you might say, being a speaker. First time I went to visit Meyer was in the summer of '86, and I had written a letter and to find out that Meyer wasn't receiving visitors and hadn't for several years and really wasn't interested in talking to anybody, and to become a bit of a recluse. So not being one to be stopped by one no, I immediately went over anyway. And spent about 3 weeks at the farm, cleaning out the barn, cutting the grass, doing everything. And at the place where he lives, it's a little town called Schmidruti, which is about 45 minutes outside of Zurich. And it's a farm up in the farm community up there. There's no town, just three or four farms and a post office. I found that Meyer lives on a farm with his wife, Poppy. Her real name is Calliope. And they have three children, Methuselah, Atlantis, and Gilgamesh, all named after... which, by the way, he did that on purpose because when he was young, he was told he would have those children, and he was very much into names and spiritual meaning to names, and named them that because of the spiritual attachment that those names have for an individual. So, there's also 15 other people that live in the house. And I assume most of you have some familiarity with the Meyer case. Is there anybody here who doesn't, or does anybody need to... We need to back up too much. Is everybody here pretty familiar? You've heard a little bit about Billy Meyer, and okay. So just stop me at any point if you want me to backtrack and go over something kind of basic. Otherwise, I'll just kind of assume that you know he's a Swiss farmer who, beginning in 1975 and lasting for 3 years, had 115 physical contacts with the human race from the Pleiades, which we now call the Pleiadians. And there's been a number of books out. I have a film that's been on television, I don't know, 300 times with no royalties. Over the past few years, you've probably seen it and so forth.
And what have most people done? They've forgotten. They thought, they got confused, that they came here to suffer. And the joy of the moment, the joy, the happiness of all that is in a moment is missed.
Break those contracts, certainly so. As you work with those scripts, you can release them, you can tear them up, you can stop playing them, and you run into what we said at that time, one more level of distress, and that is the level of your chemistry. Your chemistry and the mechanics. The chemistry, how your nervous system operates, how your endocrine system operates, the communication between the various portions from the cerebellum to the frontal lobes, from the limbic brain and the center in that regard. And this chemistry can become disrupted. As we talked then, it can become disrupted, certainly so even prior to entering the life, or it can become disrupted afterwards in terms of the choice to become the loser, through malfunction or dysfunction of the brain that happens very early in childhood. It can become dysfunction or change due to the shame, as we've talked on several occasions, that shame has a literal impact, not just an emotional one, a literal impact upon the very chemistry. Overloading, short-circuiting, altering the synapses and the neurotransmitters, affecting the dendrites that travel along the axons of the nerves in the brain, such that in that way, even though you have cleared all this out, even though you want, the chemistry is wrong and produces mutated reality.
Doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation.
Garrison.
Yes.
Glad you came. Sorry about the precautions.
Well, I just hope it was worth my while, Mr.
I could give you a false name, but I won't. Just call me X.
I've already been warned by the agency, Mr. Whoever, so this is another type of threat.
Not with the agency, Mr. Garrison. And I assume if you've come this far, what I have to say interests you. But I'm not going to name names and tell you who or what I represent, except to say you're close. You're closer than you think.
Sensing stillbirth realities, it just never comes to pass. I drop in my hope, and it's all clear down to here, comes along, but what comes out is nothing, or what comes out is something quite different than what I put in, because it's been altered by the chemistry or by the mechanics within me.
What did you do? Well, I tried this circle of influence idea, and I just focused only on the things that I could work on. I can't tell you what that did to my marriage, or what it did with this teenage son that I've had nothing but headaches with.
Yes.
Or what it did in my executive team. Then the report, really, well, it didn't work with me. Why did you do it? They learn from each other. It becomes a kind of synergistic learning environment. So that, in a sense, my speech maybe was a catalyst to start it off. But in all sincerity, the power...
See, look at that. Wow, she's a natural little girl.
Very erotic.
Her bottom got all red again. From just a little sweet little flogger, too. You've got a very sensitive behind, Stella. I like them.
Assumptions about what and what is and what is not a work of art.
Did you hear the bank on the corner is offering $100 if you go in there and they don't greet you with a hello?
Oh, really? That's nice.
Ma, what's with you?
I think I'm in love.
Oh, come on.
No, it's true. This woman saved my life. I was crossing the street. I was almost hit by a car. And then we talked and the whole thing just seemed like a dream.
If a guy saved your life, you'd be in love with him, too.
No, this woman is different. She's incredible. She's just like me. She talks like me. She acts like me. She even orders cereal in a restaurant. We even have the same initials. Wait a minute. I just realized what's going on.
What?
Now I know what I've been looking for all these years. Myself. I've been waiting for me to come along. And now I've swept myself off my feet.
Stop it, man. You're freaking me out.
Despair of a profound sense of his own mortality. But he liked watching the countryside go by. In fact, when he'd been little, he'd had the impression the train was standing still and the countryside was moving by, that it was all a trick. The countryside was on a treadmill with revolving scrolls.
and he loved to look at the way the perspectives changed. When he'd see a lake with a mountain behind it, and a highway with a fence and some telephone wires in the foreground. And the highway and the telephone wires would be flipping by very quickly, and the lake would seem to travel in a slow arc. And way in the distance, on the horizon, the mountain would seem almost to stand still. It was simply a matter of perception.
Charges. May I point out, please, that these are not charges. These are facts. These are facts of life in our country, if it can be called life, under the regime of the RVS government, of which the gentleman on my right is a representative.
I'm proud to be so, I might add.
Apart from this, may I point out these charges? These are facts. These are, I have documented evidence of people in the country of Gabon who have been tortured, who have been kept in prisons under conditions in which an animal could not survive, and many of them have not themselves survived. Some of them were lucky to have been liberated by the Popular Front.
Come on, what's the matter?
I think I may have made a big mistake.
Oh, come on.
No. All of a sudden it hit me. I realize what the problem is. I can't be with someone like me. I hate myself. If anything, I need to use something complete opposite of me. It's too much. It's too much, Kramer. I can't take it. I can't take it.
Portion of the Hollywood technical community had learned documentary technique working either within the United States or for various branches of the armed forces. So they were just more schooled in how to shoot in a more raw, less studio-bound, less stylized fashion. But I also think that the experience of the American public with documentaries during the war led to a greater acceptance of semi-documentary or realist techniques in fiction films.
Shooting on location, it's a must for film noir because film noir is reality.
My feeling is, you see, that there's a
only us, I doubt whether it is true, but to have fun. What are the right questions to ask? Well,
my feeling is, you see, that we're leaving huge things out of the puzzle. They may or may not be related to these, the magic tissue or wonder tissue of quantum theory.
The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. The one thing the devil's wanted to strip out of the church is take away the living Spirit of God and gut it of the Word of God, and nothing will happen if the Word is not present.
It'll fight if it has to, but it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
Everything I'm going to tell you is classified top secret. I was a soldier, Mr. Garrison. Two wars. I was one of those secret guys in the Pentagon that supplies the military hardware for planes, bullets, rifles, for what we call black operations. Black ops.
Its educational and industrial establishments, built by print and methods derived from print, are vast and pervasive.
Those people who have been liberated from these inhuman pest holes in which they have been kept by the Alvarez regime have, to myself, told stories of what life in these prisons was like, and it, believe me, could not be called life. People are kept away from food, away from water, men and women all together. There have been sexual abuses of the women and the men by the guards of the secret police of the Alvarez government, and these are all documented. In fact, I can produce, if you like, I can produce affidavits to this effect. So may I say that these are not charges, these are facts.
And the equation for the Mandelbrot set is equally simple. Z equals Z squared plus C.
The letters in the Mandelbrot equation stand for numbers, unlike those in Einstein's equation, where they stand for physical quantities, mass, velocity, energy. The Mandelbrot numbers are coordinates, positions on the plane, defining the location of a spot. Another difference from Einstein's equation, and a very important one, is this double arrow. It's a kind of two-way traffic sign. The numbers flow in both directions, constantly feeding back on themselves.
Let's take a quick step away from the drama for a moment. Here at the fountainhead of Freaky Deaky in the tri-state area, WZBC, we have a Z, we don't have an X, but we do get triple word score for that Z in our name, and proud of it here. In the heart of the Freaky Deaky tri-state area in Newton, Massachusetts, well, perhaps I overstate the implicit theme of things around here. I do have a tendency to get carried away, and I'm sure you'll provide some editorial red pencil, if you will. New Metaphysics, a Gary Geiserman replical, an energy replicate, in tonight for the complaining Gary, who doth complain too much sometimes. That portion has been removed from my corpus, so I have peace of mind, seemingly.
A lake, as far as you can see.
At least until the various input module is flowing into the diaphanous tissue. All is well. Go
until about two, maybe a little, couple extra innings tonight. See what I mean? So we'll be getting back to the late dramaturge in a moment.
Much my philosophy of life. I mean, you're born, you live, you die. Along the way, the glass is going to be empty. The glass is going to be full. Empty, full, empty, full, empty, full, empty, full, empty, full. Glass was pretty empty when I was born. When I was a little baby, I was very small when I was a baby. I only weighed about 7 or 8 pounds. I was naked, bald, crying. Life was full of challenges. Learn to walk, learn to talk, use a spoon, tie my shoe, wipe my ass. One thing into the next thing, into the next thing, into the next thing. I'm just this little baby. They don't give me any slack whatsoever. As soon as I can barely walk, they kick me out of the house. Kindergarten, high school, college. It's the same for everybody, right? And then you think it's over when you're done with all the school stuff. No. You gotta go to work. You gotta find a job. You gotta find an apartment. Find a love. Learn to drive. Oh yeah, I forgot to do that. Oh shit, it's exhausting.
Tell it, brother. Like it is, Eric. At any rate, we'll get back to the drama of the of the week in a moment. 552-4686 if you'd like to call a priest or a shaman of your tribe for counsel. Along the way, connecting the conceptual dots here in the new metaphysics patiche, or is that pastiche? I just sort of like an acrobat, like a tumbler, like an entertainer of the court, throw up concepts like juggled balls, and I try to get them within morphogenic resonating distance of one another, so that you, proud listener and participant, interactive agent provocateur, auteur, author of the entire work, a la your metaphysical heritage, can connect those conceptual resonant fields, jump those gaps like synaptic little tripping stones along the pond of the reflective hallucination of physical reality that you feel in every visceral kind of way, and get a kick out of it, kind of thing. Otherwise, I'm just jacking myself off. And that's not a good thing now, is it? So help me out, brother. Brother, sister. Or brotheress, if you're going to remain in our male, chauvinistic, lockdown, consensual mode for a little Bill Gatesian period longer. Before we jump over one synaptic river Styxian gate vortices beyond space-time too many for mass unconscious. Or have we already done that? I think 1993 we did that, didn't we? Yeah, possibly. So I can't speak for you. But since you don't exist, I have to speak for you, don't you understand? That's all I've been trying to do here all these years. Broadcasting this friggin' show. You know what I mean? What's that noise coming from? I'm gonna go find out. Meanwhile, let's jack back into the cyberitic, systemic, synergistic whole that you know as the ground from which you derive the usual.
And right? It never ends. And one day you find yourself in a store buying a TV set, and you realize you've arrived. You're finally a grown-up. You're an adult now. The glass is finally half full. Here's your TV set. Go home and watch it.
Backward countries now have a huge advantage over us. We now stand in relation to electronic technology much as we once stood in relation to print technology. What we plan to do or can do to brainwash ourselves of this obsolete inheritance has yet to be faced. As design and communications mold the environment, so they shape human perceptions, which processed at speeds consistent with electronic information movement induce changes in human institutions at a rate that, for the first time in human history, makes change perceptible.
This process of going round and round a loop is called iteration. It's rather like a dog chasing its own tail. The output of one operation becomes the input of the other.
And, and now you have to make it in this world. If you have any luck at all, you have some modicum of success, and then you get to do all these adult things. You get to have a barbecue every now and then, go on vacation packages, get a credit card, here's your credit card, have fun, get a bigger TV set with a remote control, give you a little power in your life.
There's a storm hitting us in 6 hours. We're going to find out who's who. All right, Doc, Gary, and Clark, move over there away from the others. Norris, you and Childs, shoot him up with morphine. Tie him down in the rec room and watch him. Fuchs, you start working on a new tab.
I need Doc's help.
Yeah, you don't want to drug me. Mac, I'm not a prisoner.
Famous last words, right. By the way, The Truman Show is on the New Metaphysics audio-video list. I've decided that's what I'll be calling movies from now on for myself. Just an AV... audio-video, since the whole idea of audio-video synergy has been rendered almost meaningless by John Q. Yoo and me, of course, since this is my movie. The Truman Show, very good. Can't believe regular people are going to like it, but I sure liked it. Phenomenal. A portal to a new world, perhaps. Highly recommended. Somewhat in the vein of what's that holiday in February? Groundhog Day, that's it. Another miraculous screenplay that somehow got found its way to Culver City and got some Jew high on a list to approve it. Kind of proud of those high up Jews on occasion. Do some good things. Well, let's get back to our Late Late Show.
I'm going to hide this tape when I'm finished. If none of us make it, at least there'll be some kind of record. The storm's been hitting us hard now for 48 hours. We still have nothing to go on.
When the Mandelbrot equation is given a number representing a point, and that number is iterated through the equation, one of two things happens. Either the number gets bigger and bigger and shoots off to infinity, or it shrinks to zero. Depending on which happens, the computer then knows where to draw a boundary line.
Thing. I think it rips through your clothes when it takes you over. Windows found some shredded long johns, but the name tag was missing. They could be anybody's. Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired. Nothing else I can do. Just wait. RJ McCready, helicopter pilot, U.S. Outpost number 31.
And that's what you do. That's being an adult. You do that for about 20 or 30 years. And basically, one day you find yourself looking in the mirror and you realize that your hair is starting to fall out and your stomach isn't as flat as it used to be and your dick isn't as hard as it used to be. And from that day on, that's all you can think about.
For these are the levels that stand in the way. And as we said, there's not going to be yet another one, and there isn't. These are the limitations, the categories or the kinds of limitations, and within them, of course, as unique as you can be, but nonetheless, these are the categories of limitation that keep the manifestation machine work from working physically and emotionally and mentally and even, in that same thing, spiritually, metaphysically. Well, what happens in this way then, of course, as you enter into this life, you've brought with you these sort of blockages, and indeed afterwards you design the payoffs. You are given beliefs, often by parents, or given beliefs, or observe them and choose them and take them as your own, about what life is, what it means to grow up, what it means to be an adult, what are the sufferings and strains and stresses that life is going to hold for you. And indeed the contracts and the chemistry in that changing often after birth and through those early so primitive and so important years gets put in place. But you know what happens here is, as these things get put in place, the limiting ones, the negative ones, of course, they hurt. They produce anger, they produce pain, they produce fear, they produce shame. They produce, in that same thing, whatever way you want to call it, varying levels of pain. And so what you do is you need to defend yourself, you need to protect yourself from your own beliefs, from your own blockages and payoffs, your own contracts and scripts, and from your very chemistry and mechanics. Even though you may not have defined what any of it is, you know it hurts, and therefore you begin to protect yourself. And the way you protect yourself is by creating a shield. What else would you do to protect yourself? Create armor, but you create it in the form of what we call a shield. And this shield is what we call a negative shield, or a dark shield. And you begin to create this dark shield. You see, as even in the pre-verbal stages, when you begin to deal with shame, If handled appropriately, okay. But if not, then it becomes a part of this dark shield. Your shame. And the beliefs about what you do deserve and what you don't deserve, often given to you by parents. You don't deserve to be happy. You don't deserve to be successful. You're not here to make yourself happy. You're here to make other people happy, who are not here to make themselves happy either, but are here to have you make them happy. Whatever those particular attitudes and beliefs that are given to you, taught to you in school and in religion and from parents and from television and from books and things, music that you hear on the... all kinds of ways, but nonetheless developing those feelings of being undeserving, and also the levels of guilt, also the levels of addiction, be they mechanical or chemical or emotional addictions, often then manifesting themselves in the visibility of the world as self-sabotage, as self-punishment, and of denying love. You see, and it's important to understand this dynamic. Here you are, a child, without a very adequate vocabulary and without any space or permission to express one, even if you had it. You are not in a position to be able to sit down and say, hey, Mom, come on, we got to talk. You're dumping a lot of shame on me. You're giving me a lot of very limited beliefs. I think I need psychological help. Could we please go see a therapist? You can't do that. You have no way of doing that. And you have such anger. Sometimes you hate those authorities, be they parents or be they outside of that rule. I hate them, but you're not allowed to do that. It's not all right for you at age 6 or 7 or 10 or even at 15 or even now for many of you to sit down with those authorities, whoever they be, primarily parents, and say, I got to let you know, I absolutely hate you. There's a part of me that wishes you were dead. I can't say that. That's terrible. That's disgusting. I got to tuck that away. I got to tuck that away in my shame or in my deservingness, you see. Just further evidence that I don't deserve to be happy. How could such a hateful person ever deserve happiness? Impossible.
What this gentleman to my left has been saying is so outrageous that I must interrupt and say that, Signor Spina, I do not know what your experiences could be, but they must be fabricated from your inner imagination, because what you describe could not possibly exist in Gabun. Gabun is a peaceful country. There are no prisons which house political people of any persuasion.
I mean, I myself spent 4 years in a Gabunian prison, and it was not my imagination, I assure you. I can show you the scars where I have been beaten, and those, my friend, are not imaginary.
Perhaps your scars are not imaginary, but your charges are imaginary. The reasons
they're
for
not
your
charges,
incarcerations, senor, are not quite in evidence here. Certainly, we cannot determine right away here this evening whether why you were incarcerated. You know?
And I go back there sometimes to the office, and I see and I note, and I'm interested. But I no longer, thank God, so involved, so concerned. But I am concerned with one thing more than any other. I'm concerned as far as it is possible in bringing to your world the real realization of truth. When I see the sad state of affairs today.
Have these voices been faked? Of course not.
All you can think about is how your hair is falling, your stomach's drooping, your dick is limping, and basically it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until you're incontinent, mindless, and drooling, stuck in a wheelchair in some fire-trapped senior citizen's home next to an interstate highway, and your big thrill of the day is when they're serving strained peaches.
Latex is a bitch when it's 90 degrees. Severity, you know, and talk to me normal when we're not doing this, but when we're playing, I'd rather you call me mistress, okay?
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna try a little bit the tools that we were talking about before. And I like to use a lot of tools. Tell me when that's nice and snug. See anything? That's good. And this is a horsey bit for My Little Pony. There you go. I think they look so much prettier than regular gags. Is that too tight? And then you can see your red lips around.
Is Crispin Glover?
It looks very sexy, I think. And there's one thing that I must have on all my slaves. I must have them all looking very, very sexy. Because then it's no fun for me if I find an ugly slave, right? Oh, that's right.
Nations, coup d'etat, rigging elections, propaganda, psych warfare, and so forth. World War II, I was in Romania, Greece, Yugoslavia. I helped evacuate part of the Nazi intelligence apparatus just before the end of the war. And we used those guys in the fight against the communists. In Italy, 48, we stole the elections. France, 49, broke the strikes. Overthrew Carino in the Philippines, Arbenz in Guatemala, Mossadegh in Iran. We were in Vietnam in 54. Indonesia, 58, Tibet, 59, got the Dalai Lama out. We were good, very good. Then we get into the Cuban thing, not so good. Set up all the bases for the invasion, supposed to take place in October, 62.
Mm-hmm.
Khrushchev sent the missiles to resist the invasion, Kennedy didn't invade. We were standing out there with our dicks in the wind. A lot of pissed off people, Mr. Garrison.
And there it is. There you are. You're sitting in the wheelchair, strapped in so you don't fall over. And listening to the cars whizzing by out on the highway. Maybe you're having like a wild day. You're counting the cars.
2001, 2002, 2003.
And then the attendant shows up with lunch, which you hate, but you like the strained peaches, so you let him feed you. And as the little fragment of peach is rolling down over your old cracked tongue for those 2 or 3 minutes, for that one moment, hope is in the air. The glass is half full once more. It's so great. But then you start coughing and gagging because you don't have any teeth. You're not that good at swallowing anymore. The attendant is shouting in your one good ear, come on, we can do better than that. That's no attitude to take. As you shit your pants for the fourth time that day and think to yourself, you're capable of thinking any thoughts at all, Dr. Kevorkian, where are you?
That's it. That was my crime, and my rehabilitation was with sticks and rods and electric rods.
I cannot hear these charges, because these charges are so false, so fabricated, that they bear no resemblance to the actual truth.
The guards who did this to me were laughing every time they did it, because they were thinking of their future reward that they would get from the others.
It's a peaceful country. Our president, our sainted president, Tavares, is devoted to everybody who is a citizen of our country. We have peaceful relationships with all our neighbors, except for our northern neighbors, the country of...
Excuse me. There is a folk saying in the country of Gabon that goes back many generations. And that saying is, there is no place more peaceful than hell.
Now, Mr. Courbeau, is it true, however, that many people, especially opponents of the regime, have in fact disappeared?
Wow. What an exciting... melodrama, perhaps. Perhaps just a regular drama. Tonight, here on channel ZBC 90.3 in the net band of the hard drive. Soon, my friends. You heard it here. At least you heard it here, at any rate. It will be on Digital World Band, non-commercial side, just like the big guys, however. Instead of now, where all there is big bill guys, putting it up your tailpipe for you, keeping that smile on your face as you waddle down your neighborhood streets. New Metaphysics, a Gary Geiserman version tonight. Not at one of those shows on tape from before, or a substitute from the station doing a facsimile of a New Metaphysics show. This is a Gary show tonight. Doesn't really matter. It's the same thing anyway. All the same show. Just played back at slightly different speeds. Sometimes completely backwards. But electronically recommissioned to sound like human speech. And therefore a New Metaphysics program. Going about another half hour till we have the test pattern. Dead air and then ZBC Rock at 7. As per the regs of our funding from the ONI, of course. Don't tell anybody. You know. I keep repeating it because, you know, it may actually be true. course, the veracity, the credibility of the MC of New Metaphysics is metaphysical and could be a parable, a metaphor, a total fiction of some kind, as opposed to the reality we all know and love so well here on planet Earth. Don't you know? All right, I'm going to jack myself back into my naval intelligence belly button and see what kind of fluids I can suck out of myself. I'm not even getting dirty here, so don't even be confused. Just talking about American things. Body parts and stuff. So let's get back to the action. Put on your 3D glasses now and the audio black box, however beige it may be, so you can get all of the secret codes and special reconstituted English language text that's left out for the straight people who are listening. You know what to do.
Well, that's kind of in the future for me. It's not really where I'm at in my life today. I'm actually in a pretty good place in my life. If I thought about it for 2 or 3 seconds, I'd realize I have it pretty good. I do have it pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. I have it great. But, you know, no matter how perfect it is, no matter how blue the sky is or the sun is shining and I'm holding my kids' hands, no matter how perfect it all is, and I'm reminded of this constantly in the evening news, somebody somewhere is suffering like you would not fucking believe.
Really is only one poetry, which the poetry of personal expression, the poem of personal expression.
You can do everything you've ever wanted to do. You've done it in your love of knowledge, in your expansion of your mind, and of your learning, and of your spirit. So you know how to do it. It's just applying it to other places in your life.
Or in my guilt, I feel so guilty for having these thoughts. You know, there's times that I wish that so-and-so were dead. I hate my sister. I wish she'd drop dead. I wish she'd have an auto accident. Oh, God, that's disgusting. I can't. What guilt I carry. That I often bury in addictions, mechanical addictions, your habits that you have, picking, chewing, eating, behavioral addictions that you carry, drug and chemical addictions of that sort, in order to stuff that untoward stuff within you, that terrible stuff that you have no way of dealing with. And then instead to vent the energy through sabotage or punishment or just deciding I don't deserve to be loved and therefore denying the very love. You create this negative shield to protect yourself from the pain, to protect yourself and to deal with a function of your life that you are not adequately prepared to deal with, that you don't have a vocabulary or the time or the space in which to express what's really going on. So you use all that negative energy, all that fear energy, all that pain energy to create a shield, this negative shield. And so out of this comes that dark shield that is there to protect you. Now at this point in your life, still very young, that shield is flexible. That shield is very malleable, very changeable. But then something happens. Then something happens. And what happens, and we call it the burn.
Oh, no.
B-U-R-N. The burn.
that comes out of eternal youth, the burn that comes out of eternal youth. Because you see, even with these things in place, the blockages, payoffs, etc., in place, even with this very malleable, very flexible negative shield, you still hold it that somehow you're going to make it. Somehow everything's going to turn out wonderful. Prince Charming is going to come. Somehow you're going to be vindicated and all is going to be made right. And the sun is going to rise and the clouds are going to disappear and you're going to walk off into the sunset gloriously, majestically successful. You still hold that. You still hold that. No matter how miserable, how painful, no matter how much abused as a child, no matter how much imprisoned in the pain, you still hold out that someday it's going to be all right. Someday a miracle is going to happen. God is going to see my plight and is going to rescue me. Or somehow it's going to be all right. And you hold out for that glimmer of light, that it's all going to be okay. That, in a sense, is what at the time of the eternal youth, that I will live forever and eventually all the negative things around me will die. All the negative things around me will exhaust themselves or in antiquity will disappear, and I, who live forever, will go on. But something happens, usually in adolescence, that burns your wings, sort of as Icarus flying too close to the sun. You get your wings burned. And that light begins to flicker, that hope that somehow, despite it all, is going to work out. That hope begins to falter. And there is the burn. When you get your wings clipped, if you will, when you have your comeuppance, as often your parents threaten, someday you'll have a comeuppance, someday you'll see, someday, in your hopes and dreams of greatness, etc. Yeah, go ahead, think it, but someday you'll have your rude awakening, whatever it is called, and it happens, you get burned. Now, not only do you get burned, then you move into the time, what we're going to be dealing with over the weekend next, when you get wounded, when you get hurt at the soul level. Not just physically hurt, not just emotionally or mentally hurt, not just suppressed in that way or confined, but at the very depth of your soul, you get wounded, you get hurt. That often happens in adolescence. And it gets repeated later, admittedly, but it often begins or happens in adolescence. And what happens then, when that burn of the eternal youth, and when the wound at the very level of soul occurs, the dark shield becomes solid. In a sense, it gets fired. And no longer is soft, malleable clay, but now is baked, is fired, and is as hard as stone, and produces what we've talked of previously also, a bottom line. Now you have a bottom line. You don't have a bottom line when you're just a child, and that's aging an infant or a child, but it is in the adolescent years that all this stuff that has been malleable, sort of floating around, in place, out of place, in sync, out of sync, now becomes aligned. Because of the burn, because of the wound, that dark shield now becomes solidified, and out of it comes the bottom line. I must control. And therefore, my bottom line is, I have to control in order to survive. Or a bottom line, I'm terrified of loneliness. and I must do anything and everything to make sure I'm never lonely or alone. Or a bottom line, I'm terrified of intimacy, and though I seek love and I seek caring, the intimacy frightens me so that I often deny myself the very love, I deny myself the very caring that so desperately I seek. And that everything in my life must be motivated out of avoiding intimacy at all costs. Never to be intimate as my bottom line. Or shame, the very component of the dark shield itself, becomes my bottom line. But don't you see, I am flawed and I am defective. I am a mutant. I am not really a human being. I am a mutated animal. Strange creature. Or I want the narcissism. Since I'm not getting love anywhere else or adequately, I am going to obsessively love myself in the sense of the narcissism, enthralled and obsessed with me, becomes my bottom line. What I want to be a martyr. Since I'm so unappreciated and so misunderstood, since there are so many problems that have no solutions and burdens I cannot handle, since I'm being blamed for things I didn't do and held responsible for things that aren't mine, I might as well be a martyr. I'm going to be a martyr. I like being a martyr. That's the way of life for me. That's the way it should be. If indeed my failures hurt too much, I'll just call them successes. And my bottom line is I am going to martyr myself no matter what. Even if there's nothing to martyr myself over, I will twist whatever happens into martyrhood. Lack of appreciation, misunderstanding, etc. Or the bottom line of pride. The pride, the hubris, and other forms of negative pride become the bottom line. Fired by the burning, fired by the wound. Now this negative shield, which was malleable, now becomes the dark shield that is solid, tempered steel. And out of it a dark, out of this dark shield, a bottom line. And therefore a fortress that I will not budge from. Therefore change as I will, grow as I will, I'm not going to give up the bottom line. I'm not going to let go of it. And the reason that I won't is because of the bottom line. I must control. I must avoid loneliness. I must avoid intimacy. I must play out my shame, etc. Well, you see, then something else happens. The shadow, the wound, the burn, once again now, affect this bottom line, the fortress, the bottom line. The very wound itself either occurs again or I remember it. The burn, the clipped wings, the lost eternal youth, the fond dreams of someday that will never be. And the shadow self. What you've come to believe is the true you, the ugly you, the hideous you, that
Hello.
You must hide
this is
behind
Kristen
what
Corver.
Is called the persona, but nonetheless the shadow. And when the shadow and the burn and the wound all interact, they produce, beyond the bottom line, what we call the secret prison. The secret prison. And in that prison, a law. A law that makes sense out of all this hubbub. That makes sense out of all this pain. A law that makes it reasonable, logical. A law that explains why the negative beliefs the blockages and payoffs, the contracts and scripts, why the chemistry and mechanics is so askew. A law that explains why I have this dark shield, why I need this dark shield, why I must never let go of this dark shield. A law that explains why it was right for me to be burned and wounded. A law that justifies the fortress of my bottom line. A law that reinforces the virtue, the negative virtue, unfortunately, of the wound, of the burn, and of the shadow. A law that justifies the prison. One law, yes. A kernel. A tiny bit of grit, if you will. That somehow is the key that can make sense out of all this. Because you see, above all, you want it to make sense. To see life as chaos. To see your life as a chaos, a mixture of all these sorts of bizarre and strange influences is too crazy-making. It has to make sense. And so a law that says, I can never be happy, or I can never be successful, or I almost must be alone, or that I always must suffer. A law that says I can never have what I want. A law that says any number of very specific things, but your law that makes order out of the chaos. And it's important to understand that dynamic of how it begins with beliefs and blockages and payoffs and contracts and scripts and chemistry that in and of themselves would be quite easy to break. Someone could say, do you see you have a blockage here? You're afraid to receive love. Hey, you're right. By gosh, you're right. Okay, I'll stop doing that. Thank you. That's great. Many of you have tried that approach. Yes. Much to your chagrin. Somehow it just didn't go away. Hey, look, you got a contract that says you're going to follow in your father's footsteps, which says you can never be equal or better than. Ah, foolish me. Well, I just won't adhere to that anymore. But why doesn't that work? Because I'm rotten and wretched and terrible, we would suppose. But the fact is, it doesn't work. And that's because, you see, there's more than this. They've been entwined with this shield. This dark shield, and entwined with that bottom line. And then with the law hidden away in that prison. In that dark prison. And you see, I can hear that I have beliefs that are destructive and deleterious. I can see and recognize, and I can probably tell you better than you could tell me what my blockages are. I can identify my payoffs in my sleep, for crying out loud. I can list contracts and where they come from and where they go, and I can articulate them like nobody's business. You would be in awe of how brilliantly I can tell you every contract I've ever had. And I've rooted the chemistry and the mechanics, and I have an articulate way of expressing that is just... But it doesn't change. And I see my dark shield. I know its components backwards and forward. I can identify when it shows up. I can identify when I'm blocking everything with it. I can identify when it's laboring me down and weighting me down and sinking me into the mire. But I can't seem to drop it. I've recognized it, I've acknowledged it, I've forgiven it, but there's something else here that I can't change it. It's a bottom line, okay. I know my bottom line. I can stand on my left foot and hold my right hand in the air and just tell you my bottom line. I can do all kinds of little maneuvers around my bottom line, but I don't ever give it up. Or I do for a bit, but then it comes back again. And the reason... Not because there's another layer here, but because there's a law over there, if you will, that is a product of all that, that gives order to the chaos. But in that process, also imprisons you. Also imprisons you. And as you can see how that transpires through the childhood, through the adolescent years, reinforced through the adult years, no matter how few or many of them you've had, there is now this dark law.
What happens now? We give her a medal?
I say at least a healthy grant. I assume you read the confidential findings report from the investigating committee.
I flipped through it.
I was especially interested in the section on Arroway's video unit. The one that recorded the static.
Continue.
The fact that it recorded static isn't what interests me.
Continue.
What interests me is that it recorded approximately 18 hours of it.
That is interesting, isn't it?
I mean, right now, as I say these words, somewhere in Africa, there is a vast sea of human beings slowly starving to death. They're there right now, as we sit here. A sea of human skeletons dying. And they're under the same sun, the same blue sky. They're holding their kids' hands, too. What could they possibly be thinking as they stand there in that burning, scorching sun with no food, no water, holding their kids' bony hands, looking at their ribby rib cages and bony heads, little death flies crawling around their baby's eyes. What could they possibly be thinking?
And what is the impact of it? So what that there's a dark law? What's the impact? What does it do to you? Well, of course, as we look at the very structure that produces it, it keeps the limitations, this group, it keeps the limitations in place. Certain beliefs become sacrosanct. Certain beliefs become taboo. I can change this belief and that belief and the other, but here's a belief I will not and cannot change because it is connected to the dark law. And therefore, I can apply the belief-changing techniques to it, but it won't work. That same technique will work on this set over here because they're not sacrosanct, they're not taboo, they're not restricted, whereas this particular belief is.
Ben, I'll come to that later. So, 1963. I spent much of September 63 working on the Kennedy plan for getting all U.S. personnel out of Vietnam by the end of 1965. This plan was one of the strongest, most important papers issued from the Kennedy White House.
His National Security Action Memo 263 ordered home the first 1,000 troops for Christmas. But then in November, 1 week after the murder of Vietnamese President Diem in Saigon and 2 weeks before the assassination of our president, a strange thing happened to me.
The Panama T-47.
Sarah, is that in there?
80. The point is, the weapons need to be where the troops are. And that's...
Now? Excuse me. I got a note saying you want to see me, General.
I do indeed. You are going to the South Pole.
I am?
You are. Dr. Mooney's got all the details. I want you to check with him. Have yourself a nice vacation.
I was sent by my superior officer, we'll call him Y. I was sent by General Y to the South Pole as the military escort for a group of international VIPs. I was on my way back in New Zealand when the president was killed. Now, Oswald was charged at 7 p.m. Dallas time with Tippett's murder. That's 2 o'clock in the afternoon of the next day, New Zealand time. But already, their papers had the entire history of this unknown 24-year-old man, Oswald. Studio picture, detailed biographical data, Russian information, and were pretty sure of the fact that he killed the president alone, although it took them 4 more hours before they even charged him with that crime in Dallas. It felt to me as if, well, that cover story was being put out, like we would in a black op. Anyway, after I came back,
I can intellectually understand that I deserve, but my belief that I don't is connected to my dark law with such a tenacity that I will not touch it. And though you can encourage me to, and although even I can do the techniques around it, it is impervious to the technique because it's connected to the dark law. Payoffs and blockages and payoffs similarly become impenetrable. I have 3, 4 payoffs, certainly so. And you know, I've worked with the one about trust, and I've worked the one about intensity. But the one about the difficulty of receiving love, I have worked and worked and pounded at and broken apart and blasted the sucker to pieces, and it still is there. It's impenetrable.
Oh, well, glasses half empty or glasses half full.
Yeah, right. Starving African, starving African, starving African, starving African, starving African, starving African, starving Africans. They spoil everything.
I thought I handled it, but whoops, there it is. Whoops, there it is, showing up again and again and again. And this payoff. I mean, I see my payoff of self-pity, but I just can't stop it. I just can't stop it.
A small particle of this thing is enough to take over an entire organism. And everyone should prepare their own meals. And I suggest we only eat out of cans.
All right.
I mean to. My intentions are good. I tell myself to. I do all the techniques. But it just doesn't, because it's impenetrable. Because that particular payoff is connected to the dark law, to the bottom line too. But see, I broke it at the bottom line level, but not at the dark law level. So it's impenetrable. The contracts, the scripts, either I never really break them or I do, and they keep coming back. They keep coming back. I mean, I broke this script with my mother 45 times for crying out loud, but I turn around and I trip over it. The cords are back. What it produces in that sense to the chemistry, it doesn't really change. Because particularly with the chemistry, the mechanics, the way of changing it are more abstract. They're not as concrete, not as observable. And therefore, in that abstractness, become even more difficult to change, and the patterns are still there. The chemical, mechanical patterns are still in place. It makes these limitations rock solid hard. Certain aspects of them, not all of them, certain pieces of them, impenetrable, unchangeable. It's similarly that dark law turns this shield, this dark shield, into the metal, into the concrete or stone that it is. It began malleably. I was willing, I could have, maybe as a kid, but now it is seasoned, it is aged, it is tempered. It has been fired, and therefore is rock solid and heavy. It's heavy, and I can't seem to shake it.